Building an effective sales team is a simple three-step process. Or is it? I don't know. You'll need to tune in to find out. Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to the Loan Officer Podcast with me, Dustin Owen, and my main man,
J.C.
John Coleman.
Yo, what is popping?
Bro, a absolute whirlwind over the past 2 weeks.
Okay.
Absolute insanity. Check this out. Flew to Kansas City. Crushed it for a bunch of an amazing originators at Flat Branch Home Loans.
Shout out Flat Branch Home Loans.
Flew back the next day. Hung out with our boy Renee Rodriguez.
Shout out Renee.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Then Tuesday, drove my happy rear end to Tampa, Florida.
Shout out Tampa.
Crushed it for the Mortgage Bankers Association of Florida. Hung out with our guy Amir.
Shout out Amir.
Thursday, drove all the way down to Fort Myers, Florida.
Jesus.
Yeah, Florida Association of Mortgage Professionals.
Getting fampy.
They're getting fampy with it. This was our first of two things that we're doing with FAMP this year. The next one is going to be in August. Actually, it's the end of July, beginning of August. It's their annual conference. This is going to be a big deal. Like this FAMP on the Run event was a really good event, good turnout, brought lots of value to the mortgage brokers and the originators. But the summer event, the one that's going to be in Orlando, that's like on point. All in time for us to hop back on the airplane, now head out to Arizona for Housing Wire's The Gathering, just to come back before our next event, which is more likely going to be a Mortgage Bankers Association of Georgia. They call that MBAG. Then Mortgage Bankers Association of Jacksonville.
Jesus.
Holy cow. Yeah. I'm like getting worn out thinking about
WWF
it.
WWF on the road. Just don't turn to drugs and alcohol to supplement.
I won't. You know, as long as I stay off the steroids and I don't throw my body around a ring that's basically plywood covered with like some kind of a vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I should be good. Now, I'll have a couple alcoholic beverages from time to time, but I am still training for races.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's what's popping, man. What's popping with you?
Nothing.
Same old, huh? It's going to be a great year.
Okay.
Once we can get through, like, the first half.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work getting there. So,
allegedly.
Anyhow, you know what? You know what else is a lot of work?
Running, like, a branch or something?
Right, running a business.
Yeah.
You're now a business owner, John. You have employees.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Can't say it on camera.
Yeah.
I've been thrust into a leadership position that I did not want. However, this is the life I was destined for.
It is. Yeah, you met this asshole named Dustin Owen who doesn't take no for an answer and won't turn his drive off.
Yeah, but one day it'll pay off for both of us.
Not right now.
Not now.
Now, all the money gets reinvested back into the company. Yeah. But look, that's what good entrepreneurs do. So, yeah, like if you look at what we're building over at TLOP Entertainment LLC, if you look at what people do with their mortgage branches or their mortgage business, or you look at what people do with building out a financial advisory consulting firm, or you know, doing something with Northwestern Mutual has branches that sell life insurance and offer financial advisory services, real estate offices, like realtors do this. Like you're creating a sales culture. You are inviting other people to be a part of what you're doing, which is a business, which is a branch. You're going to support them. You're going to help them earn their living. You're going to teach them the ropes. And in return, if you do it profitably, you can earn a piece of the revenue that those people bring in. Right? I mean, that's how business kind of goes around. Well, we get this question often, and we get it through the TLOP community. We get it through the private coaching that I do. And it's something that I'm like, you know what, John? Let's sit down for 20, 25 minutes, and let's just discuss the life lessons and the business lessons that I've learned, because I've been able to successfully help launch and grow almost a dozen branches. Like I think we're close to pushing up to 9, maybe 10 with our most recent acquisition. And I'm going to teach you based on my experiences, what went well, what didn't go well, And looking back, if we had done it with true intentionality, because I'll be honest, some of it was pure dumb luck.
Yeah.
So like some of it was like, and that's life. It's like, well, what makes sense? Okay, well, let's do what makes sense. What would good people do? Well, let's do what good people would do. What would I want done to me? Well, let's do what I would want done to me. And then when we look back over the past decade, going on a decade and a half, sometimes we're like, damn. Y'all must have been geniuses. We're like, nah.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo.
We were just three dudes trying to figure out doing what was best for us, what was best to the other human being that was raising their hand, signing up to say, yeah, I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I'm going to ask you to support me. And if you support me well, I'll be successful. I'll help add to the bottom line. If they add to the bottom line, then potentially, as an owner operator of whatever business I may or may not be a part of, I could potentially get some profit off of that, right? Let's. Mm-hmm. Essentially how things work. So yeah, we're going to talk about it. And there's literally three. There's three components that when I look back and I boil it all down, there's three things that people have to do really well. And this is regardless of industry. And if you can do these three things really well, I think you put yourself in the driver's seat to scale, to level up, to be successful. To me, by the way, success is twofold. A, when we're talking business, success is money. I mean, that is the trophy. That is the championship round. It's did you make money or did you not? How did you compare to your peers? So if you didn't make money, that means you lost. And then how do you compare to your peers? That's like, where do you stand on the podium? Even if the podium had like 10 or 110 different levels of standing on the podium, there is a certain component of competitiveness that goes into that. But then the second piece is, okay, did you make money? Did you win? But did you leave things better than you found them? Did you create or help create careers for other people? Like your knowledge, your systems, your processes, your culture, whatever it was that you invited them to. So did you impact lives, basically? And that's what I'm looking for. And I think you can break it down to three components. So that's what you and I are going to talk about.
I mean, you're going to talk at me as I just blink and look at you.
Yeah, I try not to talk at people, John, but I know sometimes that's your preferred method of communication. Except for when I'm asking you, like, hey, when's this going to get out of post-production? Then you're like, God damn it, quit talking at me. It'll be done when it gets done.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah.
But I'm like, hey, unfortunately, I kind of went out and misspoke, and I promised these two sponsors that we'd have this video done by this date.
It happens all the time in production, yeah.
Okay.
All the time.
That's just normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one with the Emmy, not me, so I don't know.
You have an MBA.
No, I don't have an MBA. I have a CMB.
Some letters that you paid a lot of money for, you have.
Yeah, I paid a lot of time for those. There's some people who pay a lot of money for them. No, I paid a lot of time.
CMB.
A little bit of money. Yeah, certified mortgage banker. But nonetheless, all right, let's start. Let's just get right into it. Here are the three things. Number one, first step. First step is you have to become your ideal team member. So whatever it is that you are going to expect out of your ideal team member, that's what you two have to be. Like if you're not that, what type of leader can you be? Right? You're going to lead a bunch of people who don't follow in your footsteps? No. You have to walk the walk. So if that means first and foremost, you have to be a top sales professional who's great at generating leads, who follows a CRM, who is systematized and process oriented and produces at a high level, then you're going to attract people who want to be just like you. They want to generate the most amount of leads. They want to be systematized. They want to be process oriented. They want to generate a lot of revenue because they want to make a lot of money, right? Meaning they make a lot of money by generating a lot of revenue for the company. So that's the first step. That step may take some people 7 years, 17 years, or 17,000 years just to get there. So before you start thinking, I want to own my own brokerage, shout out Meg March, or I want to open my own branch, we reach out to Mike Smalley to talk about branch opportunities. Like before you do any of that, where are you in your career? And are you your ideal associate? And do you walk the walk? Okay, step one. Step number two, you heard me talk about systems and processes. If I'm going to attract John Coleman to come work for my sales organization and John's a good producer, I need to offer John something he currently doesn't have. And by the way, it shouldn't be better comp. It shouldn't be a certain product. It shouldn't be something with how I price things, because all three of those can change at a whim. And all three of those things can change sometimes without me having much control. So anyone looking to leave employers, That shouldn't be a reason to leave. Anyone looking to join someone new, you shouldn't be enamored by those things. Now, it has its role, but it's not the end all be all. No, you want to go work somewhere, or if now I'm talking about the business owner, the branch leader, the broker owner, whatever the case may be. I want to be able to track John Coleman to come work for me because I am systematized, process oriented. And all John has to do or what he gets to do is tie into my systems and processes. What do I mean that by that? Let's give some examples. I have a robust CRM. I have a loan officer assistant, marketing assistant, or a CRM administrator who helps me manage, market, and maintain my database. Why couldn't he or she also do the same thing for three other, in this case, let's call them loan originators or life insurance sales reps or real estate agents? They could, right? Everything can be scalable. We can level up. Now, all of a sudden, this person wants to come work for me because they want to follow my footsteps, because I lead from the front. I'm down in the trenches. But more importantly, I'm going to remove all the guesswork. It's funny, Mark Holmes over at TLOP always talks about, hey, what's the benefit? We get this question. What's the benefit of TLOP MLO coaching? Mark's really simple. Look, we take out the guesswork. Pay us $200-$300 a month. Be a part of our coaching community. Get all of these calls, all of these training videos, all of these resources, right? Direct access to DO and the rest of the faculty because we take out the guesswork. Well, a good branch manager, a good broker owner, they take out the guesswork. I don't have to go find the right CRM. I don't have to actually build out the flow. I don't have to come up with the scripts. No, I get to tie right into it. Same thing goes for how we process a file to how do we do marketing post-closing. So that would be step two, is system to processes. Another example would be, very simply put, and I'm going to use the mortgage loan origination community when I talk about this. As a top producing loan originator, there's certain things you should be doing, whether it's hosting happy hours, teaching lunch and learns, or creating content. And I would say all three, a combination of all three you should be doing. Well, if you're doing it for yourself, let's say you go out and whether you outsource it or you in-house it, content creation services or even social media services, if you're doing it for you, why not do it for the branch? If you're hosting a lunch and learn, don't just do it for you, do it for the entire branch. If you're going to host a happy hour, don't just invite your realtors and the rest of the branch's realtors. It's a very easy way for you to duplicate what you're already doing for yourself, but you allow other people to tie in. That way they don't have to do it. They don't have to think it. They don't have to organize it, put it on their calendar. All they have to do is show up and invite people to it. So like the step two, first step was become your ideal. And then the second one was make your systems and processes so foolproof that anybody can tie right into it. And then the third thing that you're going to want to do, like step three, like if you've done step one and done step two, by the way, you're crushing it. Like this is the case when you're going to school, you got excited about a 67.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're passing. Yeah. I would say like if you get two out of three steps, that's almost better than John's University of Tampa 67 and that class he don't want to be in.
Don't even know where the degree is.
Which, by the way, you know what I heard recently?
That it's a hard college to get into.
It's a hard-ass school to get into.
It's an elite private school. What did you think it was? Some slapdick institution?
Well, so I was asking my 19-year-old about that, and he goes, of course, Dad. He goes, all the rich girls from the Northeast who can't get into Florida State, and UF, UCF, and UCF.
End up at UT.
They all end up at UT.
Way better anyway.
Yeah, so then he's like, so there's something crazy, like 35,000 applicants, and they only let like 3,500 in. But nonetheless, you have a degree from UT. Way to go. University, not Tennessee, but Tampa.
Thank you.
But nonetheless, I don't know how I digressed on that one. Besides,
you said UT was really hard to get into, and you're proud of that because you said I got D's and I still graduated.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying is that typically two out of three is a 67%. And typically, you know, at a 67, you're like, ugh. Unless you're John Coleman, that's not really a good grade on
67
something.
67 will still let you walk across that stage.
Yeah. So, but I'm saying, look, if you're trying to be a broker owner, run your own shop, be a branch manager, and you nail one and you nail two, that's phenomenal. Like you nail one and you nail two. But step three is where we all want to go. Step three is when you're able to replicate yourself. Step three is if I'm reading John Maxwell's Five Levels of Leadership, this is level five actually, right? Because I'm already leading from the front, right? I've already shown that I'm really good at doing the basics, doing them consistently and being less of a mess. I'm less of a mess because I'm systematized and process oriented. I'm doing all the right things, and I've made all of those right things scalable for people just to tie into what I'm already doing. And I have the team or the resources that allow them to do it. But then step three would be, of those people that I'm bringing in, who's the next me? Who's the closest to being like me? And can I elevate that guy or girl as my like lieutenant? And then all of a sudden, can we send them to the market one or two zip codes over or one or two area codes over and give them the same opportunity? It's our culture. First, it started with me. Then it was my first four or five hires. But collectively, we built that culture. Our lunch and learns, our happy hours, our social media content. Maybe we went out and did conferences together. Like, for example, like if you're a branch of five, and you're looking for a really awesome conference to attend where you all will bond, where you will learn, where you will make memories. Yeah, come out to Mastermind Summit 2024 in Vegas and join us. JC will be there. I'll be there. I'm speaking. The TLOP team is going to be there. We're the official media sponsor. Shout out to Matt Emery. We have amazing speakers, Barry Habib, Tim Brahim, Cindy Ertman. Like, the list goes on and on and on. This is something companies with great sales cultures do. They grab some of their key players and they do events like that together. And then while you're doing that, you're looking for and you're having the conversation sometimes at 2 a.m. after a nice roll on the craps table. Hey, would you ever want your own branch, John? Would you ever want to do what I'm doing here in Topeka, which is Kansas? And would you ever want to go do it in Manhattan, Kansas? Or would you ever want to go do it across the border in Kansas City, Missouri, or St. Louis, or whatever the case may be? Because if you want to get to the third step of really owning and having control of a robust sales organization, that would be it. It would be finding someone to do what you've done using your systems, your processes, the culture that they helped build, and let them go do it. And then you let someone else go do it. And you can see how that, well, if you tell five friends and five friends tell five friends and five friends tell five friends, all of a sudden 150 people know who you are and what you do. All of a sudden you went from being the lead practitioner to a sales leader to now you're even elevated to something larger than sales leader, because you lead the sales leaders who now lead the sales teams, all based on your systems, your processes, your culture, and you leading from the front. So when people are looking to scale a business, scale a branch, go from one branch, right? That's what my two partners and I had back in 2008, one branch. Then we went to three, went from three to five, five to nine. How do we do it? We did it that way. Now, was it that easy? Of course it wasn't. Did I simplify everything? Yes. Did we make tons of mistakes? Still do today. I cherish those mistakes. Those mistakes are learning lessons. Those mistakes are opportunities to get better. And sometimes those mistakes were made because we made an aggressive play and it was well thought out. It just didn't work out in our favor. Okay. We lick our wounds, we pick ourselves up and we keep going. It doesn't mean that we don't continue to make aggressive plays and we're constantly in growth mode. Like, that would be a bonus round. Like, what else do you need to know? You should always be in growth mode. And growth doesn't mean you have to go from, you know, 100 million in volume to 120 million, 150 million. Sometimes growth mode is, how do we do the same with less? How do we make the same revenue, but less expenses? How do we keep our expenses the same, our production the same, but increase our revenue by 10%, right? There's growth mode just means that you're not sitting back, because what I've been taught, a mentor of mine, shout out to Doug Gordon, is if you're not growing, you're dying. Like, that's in life, that's in business. If you're not growing, you're dying. Growing sometimes is truly doing more, adding more, building, but we should never grow for growth's sake. So just say, I'm going to hire 10 loan officers and open three branches. It's a terrible idea if that costs you and your company $500,000. Mm-hmm. So we should be in growth mode. Growth doesn't have to always necessarily mean more. But, you know, bonus round, that would be my bonus round. Always be growing. Always be evolving. Don't be happy with just what worked yesterday. Show gratitude to what works. Don't constantly be looking to, like, reinvent yourself. But at the same time, look for minor improvements and then make them and build upon them.
Well said.
It's that simple.
Yeah, good job.
It is that simple. Hey, y'all, if you like shit like this, you're going to love our newsletter. Slide over to TLOPOnline.com. And you can sign up for our newsletter. It's free. It comes out every single Thursday, and I personally write it. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. John's been working his ass off behind the scenes, not just producing podcast episodes. We now are releasing 2 to 3 new YouTube videos on a weekly basis. We've renamed and rebranded the YouTube channel just TLOP. TLOP's the brand that brings you the Loan Officer Podcast. And then finally, if there's something that we're not talking about or we're not producing content and you'd like to hear about it, feel free to reach out. Hit me up on LinkedIn, first name Dustin, last name Owen, or the TLOP team is really easy to access on Instagram at the Loan Officer Podcast. Look forward to seeing all of you that are heading out to the gathering in Scottsdale. Looking forward to seeing everybody and partying with everybody out in Vegas this summer. Last but not least, y'all, if you like shows like this, if you dig what we do, please don't keep us a secret. Let a friend know, let a coworker know. We love doing what we do, but we'll only keep on doing it if it continues to grow and stays fun.
There you go.
All right. On that note, any wise words?
Hell no. Goodbye.
Goodbye. He's John Coleman. I'm Dustin Owen. You have just tuned in to an episode of the Loan Officer Podcast. We look forward to catching you on the next episode. Peace.